You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of Locked On Kings. Glad you found us here on the Locked On Network. Hopefully you're a regular. You tell your friends about us, but tell everybody about the rest of the network as well. And kind of feels like the perfect day to say it because it's the Kings and the Jazz tonight. And David Locke is the longtime voice of the Utah Jazz, and he's the one that started this network. So check out Locked On NBA, Locked On Jazz, if you want a preview of Kings and Jazz besides ours. But really the entirety of the network, all things in the NFL as well. Whether you're a Raiders fan, a Niners fan, or looking forward to the NFC and AFC Championship, check out the entirety of the Locked On Network. You will get great in-depth detail of what's going on with that team, the latest news, the latest stories. I mean, that Vikings-Saints finish, you can get the latest there. Also, the craziness the other day that happened with the Rockets and the Clippers, kind of that feud that's going on. You want the latest there, check out the Locked On Rockets podcast, Locked On Clippers podcast. You know the drill by now. Check out the network. Thank you for supporting us. You can find us on iTunes, and we do thank you for listening on a daily basis. So today we'll preview Kings and Jazz. We'll tell you about NBA Draft Wednesday, which is today, another draft day. We'll do that coming up. But want to still kind of carry over what we were talking about at the end of yesterday's podcast with kind of the statement that was made by the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, Dave Joerger, with the influence of young players. That's kind of what we're going to be looking at for the Sacramento Kings in the near future. If there's a debate on a veteran or a young player, look for them to play the young player. Coach Joerger, well, let's let you hear it for himself. We kind of cut down the, instead of the full postgame version, just the soundbite of Coach talking about the plan for this team and this organization going forward.
You know, going forward, what I'm going to do is, we're going to play a rotation where two of our five veterans are going to be out every night. It might be sometimes there'll be three. It's an opportunity for some other guys to get some minutes as we go throughout the course of the season. And, you know, I've got it laid out. I think Vince and I'm not going to say, but and I've got, about five or six games laid out. And then, every week I'll go out again because you want to communicate with those guys when they're not going to play. Other guys, they just got to be ready. If you're in your first 3 years of your contract, you can expect to play a little or a lot or none, but you should be ready to play.
So the way to look at that is, again, two to three vets out a night. I think it makes it a little bit easier on the roster on who to play. But what will it look like going forward for the Sacramento Kings? I think that's where the element becomes very interesting, because if we kind of do a breakdown of where the roster is now, one of my critiques had been, is this the best way to develop young players? And I don't know that there is a blueprint. There's a book on, hey, this is exactly how you develop the guys. Sit them out, play them the whole time, or somewhere in between. Looks like the Kings chose somewhere in between. Playing the veterans that they did sign contracts for. And I think that's important to realize that, you bring in Zach Randolph at a nice contract, and who played for Coach Joerger, had some of his best years for Coach Joerger in Memphis. Vince Carter was coming off a nice season. George Hill was coming off his best season with the Utah Jazz. You make three kind of splashy free agent signings, and how bad would it have looked to have signed those guys and then not play them at all? So you mix in the other two veterans that you already had in Garrett Temple and Costa Kufis. And really, for the first half of the season, you could argue in some realm that those guys were some of the best players on the floor. I mean, Zach Randolph is the leading rebounder of the team. He is leader in points per game. So those guys were contributing, all while seeing Willie Cauley-Stein get his run. De'Aaron Fox, Scalabrine-Sierre at times, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Frank Mason when he was healthy. So I think they were trying to implement both sides here, trying to make the veterans happy, young guys happy, but also learn, get coached from the veterans to see how they're playing, to see how to handle back-to-backs, to see how to become a professional. And the young guys with also, I mean, it's not like they weren't getting any run. The young guys were playing, and it's impossible to not play young guys when you have 10 of them on your roster 3 years or younger in the NBA. So by and large, they've been playing young guys. And if you look at the minute distribution where we stand today, getting ready for this Jazz game tonight, leader in minutes per game on the team right now is actually Willie Cauley-Stein at 26.6 minutes. Second is De'Aaron Fox at 26.4. Then you got Bogdan Bogdanovic at 26.3. Now, these are minutes per game. Zach Randolph is fourth at 25.3. I forgot one. Sorry, George Hill was number one at 27 minutes per game. So let me start that over again. Here's your leaders in minutes. I had missed George, and I apologize for that. Your leaders in minutes per game. George Hill, 27 minutes, so a veteran. Willie Cauley-Stein at 26.6, not much. This is minutes per game. De'Aaron Fox at 26.4. Bogdan Bogdanovic at 26.3. Zach Randolph at 25.3. Garrett Temple at 24.8. And Buddy Hield at 23.9. So that seven player is the group that leads you in minutes at anywhere from 24 minutes basically to 27, not a wide range. So how is this going to look different? Well, don't look at minutes per game because there'll be nights where George Hill does not play. He'll stick around the 27 minutes per game. Zach Randolph's at 25.3. He didn't play the other day. It's not like he played for 2 minutes and sat. That would reflect on his minutes. So the minutes per game probably won't change much for the veterans. Now, what we might see an uptick is in the younger guys. For example, Willie Cauley-Stein at OKC on Monday played 40 minutes. We haven't seen any King do that. I mean, that just hasn't been the case. So look for Willie to play more. De'Aaron Fox to get a little bit of a bump in minutes. Bogdan Bogdanovic. And then you go down the line, and that's where, to me, right now, if you look at the youngest players on the roster, the ones that I am personally most comfortable with are Willie, Bogey. I would throw in Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox. Those are the four that I think have probably looked the most comfortable, earned the most minutes, and to me look to be a part of the future. Now, what you have to decide is Frank Mason, is Scalabiciere, Justin Jackson, Malachi Richardson, Yorgos Papianis. Those are the guys that maybe could see an increase in minutes, and will they show an increase in production? And I think that is what the goal will be in the back half of the season. What are those guys going to provide this organization the rest of the year and going forward? Because how long will George Hill, will you know, your veterans, besides George Hill, Garrett Temple, Zach Randolph, also Kosta Koufos and Vince Carter, your five veterans, how much will they add for the rest of the year, and how many of them are still going to be on their team? There are 10 games left before the NBA trade deadline. How active will the Kings be there? And I think that's one other offshoot of Dave Yeager saying the statement he did after the Thunder game the other day, making it very clear that this is the path of the organization going forward, but also making it very clear that if you're George Hill or Vince Carter or someone else that some other team might be interested in, the reason they're not playing is not a reflection on how they're playing. It's because of the direction the Kings are going. So I think it was said to not hurt any potential trade value for any of these five veterans, but also to be very clear, very transparent to those guys that, hey, look, when you arrive at the arena, this is not your night tonight. And I think they'll plan that out pretty carefully. George Hill's playing the Utah Jazz tonight. It's not in Utah, it's in Sacramento, but that's his former organization. I believe George Hill would play tonight. Friday, when the Kings are in Memphis, I believe that's a day for Zach Randolph and Vince Carter, maybe even Kosta Koufos, all three former members of the Memphis Grizzlies. But Zebo, of course, really known for his time in Memphis. And then you just kind of plan it accordingly. Let those guys know, very similar, as we said yesterday, to what happened after they traded DeMarcus last year, where there were nights where, hey, Darren Collison and Tyreke Evans, you're not playing tonight. Aaron Aflalo and Ty Lawson, you're not playing tonight. It kind of trims the roster of far the rotation goes, gives you an opportunity to play the younger guys and see what they can do for you going forward. Now, as far as the minutes reflecting in the points per game, I told you George Hill leads the team in minutes, but he doesn't lead them in points per game. Willie Cauley-Stein was second, but he's not second in points per game. The interesting thing is Zach Randolph right now is fifth in the team in minutes, but leads them in scoring. Buddy Hield is seventh in the team in minutes, and he is second in scoring. So now while the minutes increase, how will the production increase for some of these younger players? I think we need to feel better about De'Aaron Fox in a month and in 2 months and in 3 months and some of the rest of the guys too, knowing that, okay, it's going to be tough. This team is already dead last in the NBA in scoring, and there will be some nights when you're resting some of these prominent big veterans that it's even more difficult for them to score. But on the contrary, there are going to be nights where the young guys will look good, and you'll feel good about that, and you'll feel good about the future. So it's about balancing those tough nights, the good nights, and all the in-between going forward now for the Sacramento Kings. So should be interesting to see how it plays out, but I like that they stated it. We'll see how true they hold to form on it, and it starts basically with the game against the Utah Jazz, even though it might have started, I guess, with the OKC Thunder. But I think this was done because the team has lost five in a row, eight of their last nine, 10 of their last 12, and they were playing better before. And now they've had too many games where they haven't been as competitive, and I think they will be okay, not that they will be thrilled with it, but they would be okay if they're not as competitive, but they're playing the young guys on nights. Now, if it's a lot of the veterans in there that you don't feel are a big part of your future and you're getting blown out, That's a tough one to take. So see what the young guys can provide. You'll still have a little sprinkling here of some of the veterans on a nightly basis. So like when Zach Randolph plays, I still expect him to play 25 minutes. When Garrett Temple's in, still get his matchup with the best offensive player on the other team as the best perimeter defender of the Kings. When they're playing Kosta Kufis, go in there and get your 10 rebounds and hopefully a few buckets as well. So expect it to look similar when the veterans play, but just more of an inkling to play a lot of the younger guys. All right, now let's look ahead to tonight. Tonight's game against the Utah Jazz. Strange that the Kings have finished their regular season matchups with quite a few teams, including four games with the Clippers. They're already done with them. And they've played several teams in the East twice. I mean, they've already finished their matchups with the Raptors, with the Cavs. They've taken care of business with the Bucks, Philadelphia. I mean, quite a few teams in the East where they're already done with them. But this is going to be the first matchup they've had against the Utah Jazz. And if you look at Utah, they were a team that a lot of people wrote off before this season, but I personally thought they could make the top eight in the West. I know what they lost, obviously very significant, but I think where their team kind of derailed a bit this year was when they lost Rudy Gobert to injury. And they have found something incredible so far in Donovan Mitchell. He has been just sensational for the Utah Jazz. Has been certainly one of their bright spots. But this is a team at 17-26 coming into tonight's game that has really struggled on the road. Just 4-18 on the road, which is what happens with a lot of teams that are out of the playoffs. But they've won at Orlando. They've beaten the Clippers. They had a great win at Boston. They were able to beat Washington as well. But this is a team that plays a lot of guys. They have really found something in Donovan Mitchell. They like Rodney Hood and Derek Favors. They acquired Ricky Rubio in the offseason and still just trying to find that next group that they can build with, right? And they were a successful team last year with guys like George Hill and also, of course, Gordon Hayward. But they don't have those two anymore. But they right now find five different players averaging double figures. From Ricky Rubio at 11 points per game. Gobert is at 11.6. But again, he's only played, I know it's less than 20 games for Rudy Gobert. Derek Favors, 12 points per game. Rodney Hood's up at 16. And then Donovan Mitchell has certainly been one of the season surprises for them and rookie surprises at 18.9 points per game. And Donovan Mitchell has been very nice for the Jazz.
Donovan crossing over on Dwayne Wade, jump stops by him, lays it up and in. Ho-ho! He just put Dwayne Wade in the spin cycle. LeBron's not coming back. Jazz have numbers. Mitchell to the rack! He laid it up and in! He showed, and he goes! 14-3 run by the Jazz. Donovan had 21 in the second half against Cleveland. Tonight they're doubling him off every pick. He backdoor cuts, catches, rises, dunks it! Oh, Donovan! How do you like me now? Woo! The crowd comes to their feet as Donovan walks to the blue of the Jazz basketball circle and attacks. J.R. Smith to the rack, finishes at the hoop! Donovan Mitchell! Oh, boy, are you special! I mean, really, really special.
So with the first look at Utah, obviously some of the concerns you're going to have is without Gobert, you have an ability hopefully to get inside and score some points in the paint. But if Zebo doesn't play, are you going to get those points in the paint? You still have to attack. The Kings have been looking to push the ball more, and I've noticed a concerted effort to push the pace. Well, Utah does not score a ton of points. They are third to last in the league at 100 points per game. The Kings are dead last. And so I still think you want to push the pace, get as many easy baskets as you possibly can, and start to shoot the three ball more. The Kings, again, are a good three-point percentage team. They just don't pull the trigger enough. So I'll be anxious to see Utah for the first time. And it's a lot of guys that you've seen in the league before, but Joe Ingles, Cephalosha, Joe Johnson, who really had a nice season for them. Epe Udo's back in the NBA. It's guys like that that are trying to either fit a role or find their next star. And you would say, you know, when they're playing a guy like Donovan Mitchell, that's who they feel is their next star to go with what Rodney Hood has provided them and certainly what Rudy Gobert can provide inside. So they're a step ahead of the Kings as far as finding that next guy. The Kings are hoping that's De'Aaron Fox or Bogdan Bogdanovic, whoever it might be. But Mitchell, so far at 19 points per game, has had some really amazing performances so far this rookie season. So I'm anxious to see him. It's a guy the Kings could have drafted really a couple of times, right, at 5, which they loved De'Aaron Fox and wanted him, had a crack at 10, but elected to move back in the draft and take a couple of different players in Justin Jackson and Harry Giles. And again, I'll say it for about the 50th time, by all accounts, a lot of people in the Kings organization are very high on what Harry Giles can be for this organization. All right. With that said, I want to remind you one more time about today being Draft Wednesday. We got to get you involved in this because Draft is a lot of fun. Just go to the app. I have it on my phone. I play each and every week. We've had a few more Locked On Kings listeners that have joined our league. We grew it to 8 last week. We'll probably go 8 again for today. So look it up on Locked On Kings. J-Ross will be our league on the Draft app or draft.com. That's how you get in it. And then how it works is last week we had 8 players. You pick from 1 through 8 whenever you're selected in the draft, wherever you pick. I think I was 2nd a week ago. And so you pick 2 guards, 2 forwards, and a center. You can't have the same player. And it's simple. Whoever has the best night of your 2 guards, your 2 forwards, and your center wins. And with 8 people, we had a nice little small pot there for our winner for 1st and 2nd place. And there's some good games that are happening tonight. 10 different games in action, so 20 teams, but some high-profile teams like Washington, New Orleans, who scores a bunch, the Warriors, OKC. Heck, you could draft a King or you could draft a Jazz player, too. So get involved, check it out, and you will really love it. Draft is fun. It really is. It's easy, low maintenance. It goes fast when the draft, when your roster and your league is filled. Then the draft happens, and it literally takes 3 minutes maybe to complete an entire draft, and then you watch your players. You kind of set it and forget it and go from there. So check it out. There's a lot of fun things. Put in my promo code LOKINGS and enjoy yourself. Have some fun with Draft, and I know you will. So thank you so much for listening. We will be back tomorrow to recap the Kings and the Jazz, and then the Kings hit the road. They got another road trip coming up, 6 consecutive road games, and we'll see how that goes with the influence of the younger guys coming up. But thank you so much for listening. Back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.